Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I'm reading from the New International Version. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'"
I am so grateful to be here today. And I found one of the things you get to do when you are a visiting pastor, especially a retired one of a certain age, is to connect churches. So I bring you greetings from Bethel United Church of Christ on North Green River, my home church. I just finished doing an interim there, and we are sister congregations. We are both birthed by Zion Church downtown, so we're family. And in that vein, I would ask you to pray for Bethel today. I didn't realize you were hosting a CAGE meeting tomorrow night. Bethel has considered that a long time ago. They're on a new life cycle, and they're considering it again today. There's a presentation on CAGE, so I ask that you keep Bethel in your prayers. I also bring you greetings from Carol Barth, who used to be associate here. She and I were seminary roommates, and some of you all remember her, and I'm going to take your greetings to her as well. Please know the admiration I have for you and your mission. I thought I had a draft of the bulletin, and I thought I was going to be the one to remind you of the crop walk next Saturday, but your staff is so good. It's already in the bulletin. It says it's the 50th. We were a little slow in Evansville. It's only the 47th crop walk here, not the 50th. And some people think that's a young person's job, but you know, you're going to get those 10,000 steps in some way, so why don't you do that next Saturday in the beautiful weather, right? And I'm going to keep going because you all are on a roll, a mission. I was at the dedication of the 16th Habitat House that the disciples and the UCC have done together. We did two this year thanks to the instigation of St. Lucas. One of you gave a beginning gift that got the rest of that money going. So St. Lucas and your mission, bravo. And with those, let's turn to the sermon. Grace and peace to you from the God who created us, the one we have come to know decisively in Jesus the Christ, and the one whose Spirit will sustain us in this and every moment. So as Mike read from a different version than I use, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, Jesus told them, that is the disciples, a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. And as your call to worship said, we are here to become disciples, followers of Jesus. And he knows, and God knows, that we need to pray always and not lose heart. And it is so hard in these days not to lose heart. Heart in many of the institutions that have led us in the past, even heart in ourselves sometimes. So we need to pray always and not lose heart, especially in these days of national turmoil and division. And I'm guessing in our own days, our own personal lives, with our own concerns and anxieties, we need to pray always and not lose heart. So let's see what the parable has to say to us. We've labeled the judge in the story the unjust judge because he didn't fear God. That is, he didn't hold God in awe. In Bible language, the word fear means to uphold, to revere, to hold awe, not necessarily to just be afraid of. So he didn't hold God in awe. He did not acknowledge a power greater than himself. And you know what happens when you don't do that. He did not allow for mystery beyond our knowing. And he had no respect for people. That is, he was the judge, he had the power, but he didn't sense the need of common people. He was above the fray. He didn't hold them in regard. He let them fend for themselves. He was not the kind of judge we would want judging our cases. He was not the kind of judge we need in our time. For we need to have regard for judges. We need to respect them, and they need to respect us. Some of us of a certain age will remember Flip Wilson. You remember Flip? I just found out he was one of 18 children. His mother left. Can you imagine leaving 18 children? And he grew up in a reform school, but from that he brought comedy to our lives. He brought the phrase, "Here comes the judge, here comes the judge." You remember that? "Here comes the judge." I just learned, after working with that phrase a little bit, that he was not the originator of the chant. No, the originator of the chant was Pig Meat Markham. Anybody ever hear of pig meat? I didn't. I was a grocer, so I knew about pig meat, but I didn't know Pig Meat Martin. He is credited with creating the first rap song in 1968. And its refrain was, "Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge." It had some great comic lines. For instance, "Order in the courtroom." Did I hear you say "order in the court"? "Yes, I said order in the court." "Well, I'll take 2 cans of beer, please." And this would never go in our more sensitive society. A defendant says to him, "Don't you remember me?" And Pig Meat says, "No, who are you, boy? I'm the one who introduced you to your wife." "My wife? Yeah, you get life." Think about it a little bit. It was all very humorous, except the humor is set in the midst of the chaos of the 60s. And I'm looking around the crowd, and most of us remember the 60s. And those of us who don't, who may be too young to it, need to learn the history of the 60s, because history has a way of coming back. And the context of Pig Meat's song was really, "I'm going to Paris to stop this war, Vietnam. Unless I miss my guess, I'll have you out of this mess. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge." It was such a popular refrain that even Ben and Jerry's came up with, "Here comes the fudge. Here comes the fudge." There is something in the human condition that longs for a judge and is fascinated by the judge's judgment. Judge Judy has been on TV since 1996, and already this year, already she's made $49 million. People's Court has been on TV since 1981. And listen to this, Divorce Court, the first one, Divorce Court, since 1957. We seek justice or judgment, even about talent. Simon Cowell of America's Got Talent is listed, if you Google him, listed as the richest judge on television, all of them, Judge Judy, everybody. And his popularity is credited with his critical and harsh attitude. There's something about a judge's critical and harsh attitude that attracts us, crazy as it is. So the unjust judge of our story must be very popular. I mean, speaking of harsh and critical, you have to go some to top the judge in the story. He continues to refuse to grant the widow justice against her opponent. Now, a bit of Bible study is helpful here. You see, of course, a civil trial is against two people, but in biblical days, even what we would consider criminal trials are against two people. So if someone stole something from you, you had to bring charges. You didn't have the police do it. And if somebody killed someone in your family, a family member had to bring those charges. The police didn't do it. It was always two people against one another. And so there is always, always concern about justice. Here the judge tells the woman, doesn't tell the woman. He does not do anything for her originally. And we don't even know what the problem is. I mean, is the landlord kicked her out? Or has somebody stolen something from her? Or has something even worse happened? We don't know the issue. What we do know is that the judge just tries to ignore her. And she keeps saying, "Grant me justice." Notice the judge doesn't come to her. Here comes the judge. No, she comes to the judge. She comes to the judge and comes to the judge and comes to the judge, and he keeps refusing, and she comes to the judge. Nevertheless, she persisted, and finally her persistence pays off. Now, we would think that it's her persistence that bears him down. It wears him out, wears him off. He's tired of her and her incessant complaining. That is, if you would work with a Revised Standard Version, which was what I was working with. It says, "I'll grant her justice so that she may not wear me out." My memory fails me. I was going to remember how the NIV said it. So she doesn't attack me. I think that, right? I'll give her justice so she doesn't attack me. The Message, you know, Jean Peterson says, "so she won't give me a black eye." You see, what's translated, you got to work with this, with the Greek here. What's translated is, "so she won't give me a black eye." The word that wears me out or attacks me or give me, it's about getting a black eye. You see, if she keeps going at him, there's going to be something that other people are going to see that he's not just. It's going to hurt him, and it will hurt his opinion in the way, because everybody will see his black eye. And notice we never hear the other side, and there's got to be another side. The woman is seeking justice against her opponent, but we never hear from him or her. Why is that? Why don't we get to hear the other side? How can the judge decide without hearing the other side? Because she's a widow, and the widows are the most vulnerable people in society. There are no pensions, there's no Social Security, there are no IRAs, there's no long-term care insurance. To be a widow is to be completely vulnerable, the lowest of the low. The judge, unjust as he is, decides for her. Now, how can that be fair? Aren't we always consumed by fairness? Sure, by all rights, he should have heard the other side. But as one interpreter says, the Bible is not concerned with fairness. It's concerned with justice. And what is justice? What is justice is what is just. And if you look at the word derivation, that just can be law. It can be right. But it also can be welfare. The Bible is concerned with justice, that is, with welfare, and the judge decides for the welfare of the widow. The story doesn't end with the woman getting what she deserves, but what she needs. Her persistence is a sign of her need. She needs something, and the judge gives it. Now, the story of the widow and the judge may end there, but the reading doesn't. It ends with the questions of Jesus. Will God not grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him night and day? And a kindly reminder, Jesus expands our understanding of chosen. So it's not just the people of Israel, it is everybody. God so loved the world. Will God not grant justice to the chosen, the world, who cry to him night and day? In commenting on this parable, Fred Craddock, who is an amazing preacher, Disciples of Christ, our cousin, he recalled a large meeting of people who were gathered about some unfair, oppressive conditions in our society. And there was an elderly black minister who read the parable and gave a one-sentence interpretation. So he could have avoided this whole sermon with this one sentence from the black preacher. "Until you have stood for years knocking at a locked door, your knuckles bleeding, you don't really know what prayer is." Until you've stood for years knocking at a locked door, your knuckles bleeding, you don't really understand what prayer is. As a pastor, as a person, I've heard lots of people, and I included, have wondered about prayers being answered. And then I got to say, have I ever stood at a locked door? knocking until my knuckles bled? Do I really understand what prayer is? Will God not grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him night and day, the widows, the orphans, the mentally ill, the addicted, the other? I know you're not supposed to get into politics, but have you heard the commercials about they're for them, they're not for us? God doesn't work with thems and us's. Will God not grant justice to those who cry for him day and night? Will God delay long in helping them? God will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, will the Son of Man find faith on earth? Flip Wilson immortalized Pigman Markham's chant, "Here comes the judge, here comes the judge." He also gave us another phrase, at least I think it came from him. Remember the church of what's happening now? St. Lucas is the kind of church we need now. You don't need a visiting preacher to tell you that. We're at Luke 18 now, and you have known since Luke 6:35 that God wants us to give without expecting anything back. That's weird. That's not fair. But by Luke 18, we have inched closer and closer to Jesus' death, the end of his storytelling. And today we have inched closer and closer to our own. And we all need to be reminded, especially in this difficult time, that we need to pray always and not lose heart. We need to pray for the vulnerable, especially, and not lose heart. We need to give justice to the lowest and not lose heart. But then you've known that, right? St. Lucas, Luke 6:35. We give thanks to God for the witness and the mission of your congregation. And we seek, I hope, all of us, no matter what our church, to persist in prayer and to not lose heart. Because God will answer those whose knuckles bleed and who keep on communicating. Remember that old confirmation? I bet a lot of you were confirmed. What is prayer? Conversation of the heart with God. Good news to share. Thanks be to God. Amen.